Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Application Portfolio Management, Gain Business Intelligence Across Your Entire Enterprise. Today's teleconference will be recorded, will last approximately 60 minutes, and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn about updates and new innovation in IBM Rational Solutions, including Rational Focal Point, Rational Systems Architect, Rational Insight, and Rational Asset Analyzer. The speaker for today's teleconference is Michael D. Connor, Rational Enterprise Segment Manager, IBM Software Group. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Mike Connor.
Very good. Thank you very much, and good day all here. So my understanding is that you all have the PDF file, so if you have that open right now, we're on chart one here, and you see my name and email ID as well for any questions or comments that might come after the fact here. We're really going to focus today on a part of the Rational brand called Enterprise Modernization, and really the context that we're going to lay down in this presentation is one of application portfolio management. And quite simply, our theme today is going to be spend less by doing the right things, not necessarily everything. And so we're going to carry that theme throughout the rest of the chartware or foils today, certainly we'll look forward to coming back to that theme as we go through the rest of this presentation here as well. As we move forward to chart two, the agenda is I'm going to give a brief introduction on enterprise modernization and introduce how portfolio management fits into enterprise modernization. That's going to be part one. Part two is going to be closely aligned to that. We're going to review part of portfolio management called application portfolio management and talk about the various marketplace opportunities and where Rational products and capabilities can fit to help address needs in those market areas. And then we're going to actually shift gears again and drill into one specific product in the Rational portfolio here for supporting application portfolio management called Rational Asset Analyzer. So hopefully that sounds like a plan here. I think the presentation will take about 40 to 50 minutes, and then we'll end up with a questionnaire and question and answers after that as well. So moving forward here to chart three, certainly one of the facts today, change is inevitable. I think we all know that children grow older. Mine seem to grow older by the minute. Certainly businesses grow and collapse, countries get new leaders, new products are invented, come out, and also go away. And I guess the net of that is in today's business world, change is happening at a faster rate than ever. Technological change, mobile devices are becoming more pervasive, our business is capitalizing on it or not. Economic, we are all aware of the global economic downturn and what that has meant to us from a cost savings perspective, but certainly we're all expected to deliver upside as well. So that's part of the economic climate today we continue to have also. From a business perspective, it's not just about us. It's certainly about our customers, and it's about our competitors. So how do we respond to what customers need, and how do we respond also to what our competitors are doing? And the best way to respond, of course, is to beat them to the punch. And this page shows some, several interesting examples of change that have been happening in the marketplace today. Kind of an interesting IDC quote, not on this page. IDC has revised the 2009 U.S. spending growth rate here to 0.9% IT spending, and basically companies like Cisco and Nortel, Dell, and others have already indicated they've seen or expected to see IT spending flat or drop, and certainly that's been an issue that we've all been dealing with. Continuing on, though, the message for IT is clear. Business needs and expects greater agility even in this time of cost savings, and we're certainly dealing with that here in the products area of Rational. I'm sure you're dealing with that as well. And kind of the net of that is current approaches to project prioritization, resourcing, agility, and governance are clearly, in many cases, not satisfying customer needs. And we're seeing many organizations look at a new approach to IT delivery models and sourcing options. And it's all about being more responsive. Much of that last statement actually comes from a Gartner article published on in October 2008, changing the cost structure of IT will become a business imperative for most CIOs. So that's an area that you might want to take a look at. On kind of on the fun side of this whole equation here in the upper right-hand chart is some discussion on Sequoia, which may not be relevant to us all today, but certainly some pretty exciting technology based on IBM BlueJean, basically exceeding 20 petaflops, quadrillion floating instructions per second. And, you know, early delivery in 2011 with operational deployment in 2012, which is pretty exciting. The point is more computing power continues to come down the line, and certainly there are no dearth of requirements out there for IT to pick up and leverage this computing power. I guess, again, the problem is not change, but the difficulty all of us have keeping pace here. Moving forward to chart four. On the positive side, change can be good, right? Certainly companies that leverage the new technologies can be extremely successful. You know, we've seen that with companies like Google. How about new, I'll call it some of the new social networking sites here, Facebook, MySpace. And you know, you very well may be getting information on your iPhone, for example, as we speak. Many companies continue to be powered by big IT shops. In fact, most companies are, and in many cases, a lot of that IT infrastructure that needs to continue to keep pace can't, in large part, because of what already exists. So what that means is instead of being a key enabler of change, IT then, in effect, becomes a burden. And so, you know, it's our job and our firm belief that we can actually help turn that, turn that trend the other direction and be able to leverage what you have to not be less responsive, but be more responsive. And I think there are some interesting quotes at the bottom here. I'm certainly always quite interested in the bottom one on the left about COBOL causing the state of California problems here. So if there's anyone from California, don't take that quote personally. I'm not sure that old COBOL applications, or at least the language anyway, is truly the cause for those problems. I'm pretty sure they aren't. Let's go to chart five here. This is really all about the IT infrastructure and keeping and leveraging flexibility in order to meet needs here now and forward. And certainly, how software is viewed has changed over time, right? It's in the same way that how software is delivered has changed over time. In fact, we're not looking at the individual as much anymore. Maybe sitting at a green screen in a cubicle somewhere in a basement churning code. Now it's more about geographically distributed teams. It's about people collaborating. It's about automation to help that collaboration. You know, can the teams in China and Raleigh, where I'm based, be ready to deliver and build tomorrow and then, you know, rebuild again every other day until the project is complete? Is Japan on board and able to do the testing? And certainly can California validate the results, as an example? Also concerns here about governance. As we're not creating software in the same way, we can't it becomes more and more difficult for us to report on the status of software. We need to bring all these teams together to be able to give a good view of what's happening and when it happens. And that sort of takes us from the left of this graph that you see all the way up to the right of the graph. Software is definitely viewed as a strategic business asset now, and certainly can and is being leveraged as a differentiator. I mean, how many times, even in your personal life, are you going out and selecting a company to do business with in large part strictly because of how their software, perhaps delivered over the internet, runs, which is pretty a pretty interesting change from 5, 10, certainly a major change from 10 years ago or more. So the idea here is, how can we deliver what business needs to keep us ahead of our, you know, of our customers, and certainly ahead of our competition. Moving forward here to chart 6, there are really three core solution areas in the Rational brand, and we're going to spend a lot of time here focused in a solution area called enterprise modernization. It's really all about being able to leverage existing infrastructures, be able to modernize those existing infrastructures, and be able to move those existing infrastructures forward. And that actually forms the heart or the basis around application portfolio management. And there's a very tight coupling between application portfolio management here and enterprise modernization. The enterprise modernization area at Rational is a portfolio of 35 unique products. It includes products, compilers, COBOL, PL1, C and C++, languages that you're certainly aware of, products like Rational Developer for System Z, as an example, Rational Developer for IBM I, and additional capability like Rational Asset Analyzer, which we're going to spend a lot of time on today. In addition, there are also core Rational product offerings which are applicable to modernization across the development discipline, and we're going to talk about those as well, modeling, testing, change management, reporting, and how they fit into enterprise modernization and application portfolio management as well. I believe you'll find to be an interesting tie. As we move forward here to chart 7, a little more information on some of the core challenges that IT is facing, and we want to kind of lay some of this groundwork down so we can talk about how portfolio management can actually help address these challenges. On the far left-hand side, you see a challenge really related to applications. It really, in large part, this is about how you can be smart in building the applications that run your business. And there are some key questions here that we'll walk through. You know, what assets do we have, and what do we mean by assets? Well, we mean coding assets. We mean data assets. We mean runtime assets. We mean, you know, how does it all fit together? And also now including service assets, business assets, and so on that make up that application portfolio. Certainly these applications have been built over decades. You know, we might have assembler code from the 60s. We might have COBOL code from the 70s into the 80s. C and C++ code is maybe we moved from batch applications and KIX or IMS applications to client server and Windows. And, you know, now we may be more focused on web applications, Java, J2EE. And guess what? Web applications are turning into legacy now, and now we're focused on Web 2.0 applications and a lot more rich client processing again being delivered. And, you know, what this means is applications continue to turn more and more into a service-driven and composite-driven set of infrastructures. And, you know, really as we get more and more pieces, parts, there's more and more need to manage those piece parts as well. How do those assets align with business processes is pretty key. You know, how are we spending money on those business processes? Are we investing in the business processes that have the highest value? Are the assets that are being worked on actually mapped to those business processes that have the highest value? All of these are very important. Are we building flexible architectures? You know, are we just dipping our toe into the soil water? Or are we moving into a service delivery model kind of full steam ahead? Certainly, as we deliver, quality and performance continue to need to be evaluated and progressed. And finally, you know, there are a series of outside influences also on our applications always, like regulatory inferences, corporate standards, and so on. As we move to the right here, we move into some of the people challenges. This focuses on the employees that build our applications here. Certainly, we may have smart people, but the question is, are those smart people doing their best work? A good example is on an application itself. I may have 200 Java developers. I may have 150 COBOL developers. They may have to work together, but they speak different languages. They may work different tools. I may not be able to have three of them in a single room to solve a problem that might span perhaps the JavaScript-rich client part of an application, the Java part of an application, and the COBOL part of an application. So the question is, how can I enable perhaps the best single developer to be able to go out and understand that application and, you know, shoot that production problem? Well, that's an area that portfolio management can help, as an example, by providing good, strong understanding capability. Continues to be new technology coming out. For example, we recently delivered a product called EGLCE, a community edition of our EGL language, which is a language that supports multi-platform development, very focused on rich client applications. So perhaps the best way in the marketplace to deliver a rich user experience into a customer while being able to deploy application processing in standards-based environments such as Java, creating services, deploying perhaps to the WebSphere or J2E runtimes, COBOL services when that level of quality of service is needed, deployable to either Kix or IMS runtimes as well. These people may use different IDEs. We may have one set of developers on green screen ISPF. We may have another set of developers on browser-based tooling. We may have a third set of developers on client-based tooling like Eclipse and some of our rational technologies. And the idea is how to get those people working together on the entire application. Again, portfolio management can help. Moving forward in here into team challenges, I think we touched on this before, but certainly it's great when individuals do well, but if you're judged by how the slowest person on the team finishes the race, that's only part of the problem. So today we can, because of communication issues, geographic issues, scheduling issues, and so on, it can be difficult to collaborate. Travel is virtually verboten today, and so we need to be able to do more and more interactively leveraging technology, and we certainly expect our tools and products to help with that. So team challenges is a big part of providing the ability to move forward with application portfolios as well. And I move forward here to chart 8. And so in summary, when you think enterprise modernization, think about improving the application development process, improving what people, individuals can do, and then improving really how teams tie it all together. And with that, I'm going to end the introduction and really move heavily into our focus on application portfolio management today. Chart 10 actually talks about, and is titled, the Rational Software Delivery Platform. You could actually look at this chart, though, and not think so much rational per se, and we certainly do have products that fit across this entire life cycle, but focus more on the life cycle itself. Applications could enter the application life cycle or the outer loop in virtually any one of these boxes. So in other words, I may start my delivery process with a set of requirements that's already been accepted. So the first thing I need to do is understand what my applications does. Portfolio management can fit there, and certainly I'm going to talk about that set of products, the Asset Analyzer set of products, here later in this presentation. But the application development process may start with modeling. It may start by actually getting into my IDE and churning some code here. As I move down the right-hand side of this chart, it may start by evaluating requirements and agreeing on those requirements. It certainly may start by the code's been delivered. Now I need to prove that it's good code, both from a quality and from a security perspective. I may be a tester where the application lifecycle for me begins with the testing process. You know, same with deployment and change management here over on the left-hand side of this chart as well as we kind of move up to the top again. The point here is the inside circle. Application portfolios really feed every part of this development life cycle, and having a good handle on what the portfolio is, what it does, what the value it is can help make sure that the people in the outer ring are not only working faster but working smarter. Excuse me for the cough here. I'm running a little bit of a cold, but we're going to continue on and transition directly into a definition here on chart 11 of application portfolio management. So the process of dealing with application portfolios has really now surfaced in its own marketplace. And we'll often hear the term application portfolio management used. And in fact, you'll if you deal with analyst groups such as Gartner, Forrester, or others, you'll see them use that term quite often. The definition that you read here, I think, is quite a good definition, and I adapted these statements here from Wikipedia. In general, APM is all about managing applications as a portfolio of assets. Two main capabilities for this are required. First, application understanding. And application understanding, in large part, forms the cornerstone of application portfolio management. It's usually accomplished by gathering metadata about application processing. How? By scanning code, runtime definitions, databases, JCL, all the artifacts that make up an application. This is often what is sometimes called traditional APM, or application portfolio management, and kind of fills in the technical side of our APM equation and IBM's APM solution. Second, and one of the most difficult aspects of APM, is attributing a value to these software assets. I mean, certainly metrics like line of code, it's meaningless. It doesn't mean a lot. You can understand things like how big an application is. You can even understand complexity metrics like McCabe and Halstead and so on. But again, not very valuable in being able to have a discussion of the business value of this portfolio. So that's why it's critical to tie software assets back to the business areas, processes, rules, and, ultimately, again, the value that they support. As you can imagine, information such as this, like application cost, business value, ROI, and so on, cannot be derived from scanning source code. This information needs to be brought in from external sources, and really from not a single person, but a group of people, and a group of people that extends well, certainly deep into IT, beyond development, into the analyst community, and into the business community as well, outside of IT. External information sources include survey results from business stakeholders and inputs from finance and accounting systems, as an example. Other sources can include IT performance and availability metrics to provide additional and useful perspective on cost and performance in the deployed world. So, yes, analyzing code, as we stated before, is a core part of APM, and because our APM products do analyze source code, they also, besides the overall business value, can provide direct benefit to developers, analysts, and architects as well. So APM can help you decide what to do. It can also help you do the what faster. And in fact, analysts have written and experience shown that developers can experience a 20 to 40% gain in analysis activities by using APM-style solutions. And I do want you to kind of take a little look at the pie chart here on the right-hand side of the screen, where you see some of the traditional APM sets of activities and capabilities from detailed analysis to anomaly detection like dead code, talk about surveys and assessments as part of this, analysis of objects, business rule mining, and the ability to refactor, maybe take existing processing and turn those existing processing like business rules into services can also be a very important part of an overall APM solution. As we move forward here to chart 12, we have APM. What are we going to do with the results? And so here are some of the paths that that APM can actually lead to. I mean, certainly continuing to maintain or invest if there are high value areas that we're developing in is ultimately the perhaps the most critical value. Retiring as well can be very important, right? We're all being asked to cut in areas, so we spend on the right things, not on everything. And if an application or a set of capabilities are not delivering what they're needed to deliver anymore, or perhaps the value is not what it used to be, well, great, let's retire it and let's move on. Sometimes our cost structures have changed and it makes sense to redevelop. Sometimes our functional requirements have also changed. In other words, we may have had an application that worked very well internally for us, but now our customers are external and worldwide, and we're not selling with a brick-and-mortar-based sales force anymore. We're actually selling over the web. We may have processing that provides the back office, I'll call it heart of our application, but that back office heart needs to be able to be executed in new and perhaps exciting ways. So moving into service-oriented architecture, maybe modernizing from green screen to web 2.0, all of those things can be part of what actionable APM actually delivers. And certainly as can re-architecting, maybe we're getting rid of aging components, taking them out. Maybe we're moving platforms around as an example. Those are some areas that could fall into re-architecture as well. Moving forward here to chart 13, this is a chart that kind of comes back and talks about how individual and teams kind of move up through the organization and the business. We're looking at APM from a higher level now. We can see that APM can actually span across the individual to the team to the organization and to the business. And it can also span functions. So on the left-hand side, we may have application development and maintenance, and the individual sits there, and APM can help with the developer. And there are some example products listed here in acronym form. We may move forward and validate quality and security. APM definitely has a role here with the metrics and counts and scores and so on that it provides in this space. We move forward to application transformation, rewriting and refactoring that we talked about. APM helps here because it can help us identify key business processing by marrying the business process to the technology and to the underlying value. And then we move forward into kind of this new area, this portfolio view, where we're taking a very macro level look at what we have and trying to understand where we came from, where we're going, and where we're at today, how that actually scores against where we were at and where we want to go into the future. And you'll see, again, at the bottom of these boxes, you'll see the various products that fit in the various areas from the development products, very focused products like Rational Developer for System Z, the IDEs from Rational, into the quality and security products like Rational Software Architect as an example, providing great quality analysis of applications into security capabilities that we have with AppScan. An ounce where code is scanned and we look for security violations. We move into the application transformation area where we're actually looking at rewriting and refactoring and taking existing processing, even moving it into rules engines such as the iLog technology from IBM as an example. Then we move forward to the entire business where we're going to take a portfolio-wide view, and we're going to spend a lot of the time here in the next several charts in the presentation focused on enterprise architecture with systems architect and project and portfolio management with Focal Point and enterprise portfolio reporting with Insight. And I'm going to talk about all those in some detail here, beginning with chart 14. So APM is tightly linked across many formerly disparate parts of the application lifecycle. Enterprise architects define the goal. So in other words, but there is an existing portfolio of artifacts in place that has gotten to where we're at today, and we need to understand those. We need to move the business forward, which begins with an understanding of key initiatives and what the ROI on those initiatives are, and then also looking at the progress of our funded projects. And that's where Rational Focal Point fits. will move from projects through the traditional development life cycle, and we've labeled that the Rational Software Delivery Platform. And in turn, one of the outputs from the delivery platform is working code. One of those outputs is a set of working IT assets that need to be managed, such as services. And in this case, if services need to have independent management, a capability like Rational Asset Manager can support the life cycle of that service. So, for instance, if another organization wants to reuse the service I created, fine, who needs to approve that? What's the actual value of them reusing the service? Do they pay me something? Maybe it's not money, but it could be some other, I guess, good or service here that perhaps they would provide, like support for the service as an example. And then if they're going to actually change that service, I need to know about it, may need to approve that. These are all examples of life cycle of services or assets that RAM can help with. As we kind of move forward from there, we need to provide status on success, failure, inconsistencies of our execution, you know, hopefully more success than anything. That's where insight fits, and then finally we move to deployment of that working application. And as we look kind of in the center point of this portfolio view, providing key metadata about the application processing itself, it really labeled application intelligence is where our asset analyzer technology fits. So what I'm going to do is shift gears, and I'm going to focus on a number of the core products that I just mentioned in some further detail, and then we'll get into Asset Analyzer as well in a fair amount of detail. So we look to chart 15 here. The keys to enable organizations to be leaner, more agile, more profitable are identifying and prioritizing potential areas of consolidation, reducing redundancies, recurring costs, improving operational efficiency, and really we're focused on where Rational Systems Architect would fit. It's all about providing better enterprise decision-making and gaining an understanding of the business technology dependencies and then enabling fine-tuning of those dependencies. This requires access to easily searchable corporate-wide repository of related business and technical information. Enterprise architecture can provide this view, showing relationships across strategy, high-level business processes, down into the lower-level information systems, and really our deployment infrastructure as well. Rational Systems Architect now has a very powerful search engine built in that enables quick searches on text strings used to define an architecture and allows us to actually identify where key areas of what I'm looking for are actually surfaced across that architecture. The reference by facility has been enhanced, enabling users to better understand how pieces of that enterprise architecture fit together. It gives it to you in a nice visual manner. Further analysis of enterprise architecture is supported with enhanced heat maps that reveal project or technology status, readiness, progress, or cost in simple color coding scheme. These capabilities indicate potential areas of redundancy and potential areas for reuse of virtually any kind of assets. And, you know, very simple, new, easy-to-read reports have been delivered with the latest release of Rational System Architect. Certainly, change initiatives involve risk, no question about it. Risk can be mitigated only if business strategists and planners have a clear understanding of the as-is baseline and the to-be-target architectures and the associated impact of proposed changes. And that level of understanding can be achieved using workspaces in the Systems Architect product. These offer versioning of potential future architectures and provide detailed traceability and differencing or comparing the original architecture with the evolved architecture. And really the capability allows you to merge and view information between workspaces over time. And as I look to chart 16, you can actually see how some of this visualization is enabled in the Systems Architect product. A user, you know, would utilize impact reports like we see in this chart called Explorer Diagrams in System Architect that graphically depict critical relationships across the organization. And with this type of report, users from analysts to decision makers can get answers to questions like what are our enterprise strategies and how are they directly tied to resources required in their implementation. We are changing and consolidating our infrastructure. What is the direct impact of risk as it ties through technology to the business? Or we're migrating a project in a new direction and need to understand the impact on the organization of this process change. And again, with information delivered in a very easily consumable manner. That's the system architect technology. Moving forward to chart 17, we're now going to shift gears and we're going to talk a little about the rational focal point part of the portfolio. Imagine if you were able to objectively make the right decision for your organization. This often can be very difficult, and I know I struggle with this as well. IBM Rational Portfolio Management Solutions help ensure strategic alignment of planned investment to business priorities by measuring, analyzing, and objectively evaluating investment scenarios with central oversight to budget and risk. And then, you know, what it really does is let you focus on business direction and strategy with real information from various constituencies across the organization. Letting you take the emotion out of this type of decision and making it the decision very objective versus subjective. The product set that we have focusing on this is called Rational Focal Point for product and project management. Being a product manager by career, set of capabilities that I could have been used many times in my career. To realize faster time to value, there is a pre-configured product portfolio workspace that gets you up and running very quickly from the start. It's based on industry best practices. And the idea here is to minimize the amount of time needed for an organization to begin to realize the benefits of automated portfolio management. With the business case at the core of the process from idea through execution to end of life, you know, certainly a workflow process helps facilitate and enforce sound decision making, and that's really what this is all about, sound decision making in the processes. And there are various integration capabilities from the focal point technology into other parts of the rational portfolio as well. There's integration to between System Architect and Focal Point, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit. Also, integration into our Rational Requirements Management solution set, including Doors, even into other third-party products such as Microsoft Project as an example. Moving forward here to chart 18. Product management is about improving the predictability of product success by organizing work around customer value. That's what this is all about, and making decisions value-based so that you're using stakeholder requests to drive scope and objectives as well as to identify the sequence of activities and deliverables. The focal point solution places business at the core with a new cost-benefit trade-off analysis, which helps you visualize the complexity of decisions and make right choices. And with the introduction of IBM Rational Focal Point 6.4, it's now easier for organizations to build these cost-benefit analyses. Focal Point guides the input and calculations to avoid mistakes and omissions. Rather than importing the results of a plan from a loosely structured static format like a spreadsheet, Focal Point allows for centralization and increased control of this critical step in the investment process. It provides a process as dynamic as market conditions, with workflow support and the ability for calculations to be updated as projects are replanned or prioritized, which is an assurity in this marketplace. Lastly, you can monitor investments to make sure you deliver the promised scope and value to the stakeholders. And with this capability, you can modify how you're investing based on the changes that you see with this analysis. And if we look here at chart 19, you'll see a visualization of just a small amount of the reporting information that Focal Point can provide. Some simple keys to building the right products for the right markets at the right time are automating the capture of ideas and collecting them into a central repository. It includes enhancement requests, technology needs, market inputs, competitive analysis, market information, and other details like personas, customers, and even win-loss reports. making selections of product features, requirements, and capabilities based on value that it provides to the customer and to the organization, which you certainly should be maximizing, as should I when I make my product decisions here at IBM. And then take advantage of best practices from leading companies and leading product management methods here to leverage our collective knowledge in decision making as well. So in the top graph, you see how markets or constituencies in your organization value a particular capability or set of capabilities. The simple graph removes or limits subjective decision making, giving us real-time views into how the organization really values what we are delivering. The information is gathered via surveys, of course, across the constituencies. Same graph can also be viewed by a cost perspective or both within the same pane. Not only can we decide on the highest ROI items with this information, but we can also decide on the highest cost savings or perhaps determine least impact with cost reduction. In other words, the biggest bang for the buck, as we have been likely asked to do many times recently. The bottom graph displays measures that help us determine the total value over or across multiple projects or time. Chart 20 here. Excuse me, chart 20, so the rubber meets the road in moving from ideas to doing. How do you know that you're doing the right things for your organization through proper management and optimization of project execution? But having a measurable and manageable process means nothing if we're not going to test its bounds to see how better information and governance over budgets, resources, and risk can reduce delays and mistakes that cause as much as 59% of projects to fail to achieve their business results. A new product here, which is currently in beta, Rational Focal Point for Project Management, is about enhancing project management capabilities on a unifying platform that drives real-time in-context collaboration, automated and information gathering, all based on the JAS platform to help teams integrate communications, workflow, and measurements for project success. And you can see by going to ibm.com/rational, if you search on Focal Point, you can actually go out and actually download the beta and enter the beta. So if you would be interested in doing that, we'd certainly encourage you to do that, and we'd certainly love to get feedback on that process as well. Moving forward here to chart 21, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but there are a fair amount of integrations here that enable the enterprise architecture as well as project and portfolio management capabilities to talk and exchange information so we can understand that our projects are impacting enterprise architecture. We can understand how our enterprise architecture actually impacts projects. And we can do this together in context between the various tools and capabilities. I'm going to spend just a little time on chart 22 and 23 on two additional product sets and capabilities that fit in the portfolio management space. First off, I'm going to talk about Rational Asset Analyzer. This is a common repository and a common set of UI access mechanisms that provide an asset management scheme that helps clients achieve business goals by cataloging, maintaining, and governing business and software assets. It's really all about proceduralizing the life cycle of an asset to be able to enable that asset to be managed, insured from a quality perspective, delivered and supported, and moved through the life cycle into production and back through the life cycle again as needed. Chart 23 is a very new product in the Rational portfolio called Insight. And Insight is really all about the ability to report across the organization. It's based on the industry-leading Cognos 8 BI reporting platform and enables real-time and historical views across projects, products, and geographies. It leverages an open REST-based integration framework just like JAS does, which you may be familiar with. There are out-of-the-box integrations with ClearCase, ClearQuest, RecPro, Rational Team Concert, and Quality Manager as well. And these platforms can also be extended to any XML or JBDC, ODBC-based data source, including many of the other technologies that I've talked about here today. And more rational and non-rational products will be integrated in the future. Data can be either accessed directly for on-demand reporting or for historical trending supported through the Cognos Extract, Transform, and Load engine and stored in the Insight Data Warehouse. And I would leave you with the fact that although it's early in its life cycle, Insight is already helping organizations realize one of these benefits, and you can actually see IBM listed here as well. Insight has been deployed internally at IBM, and one team is already saving over 40 hours per month through automated data gathering and report generation. In addition, they now offer on-demand dashboards, which were very labor-intensive and time-consuming before they started using Insight. As we talk about portfolio management, reporting, of course, is a big part of this area, and Cognos, along with Insight, provides a lot of capability. So moving forward here, through chart 24, into really the next part of the presentation, we're going to actually get into the Rational Asset Analyzer technology. And on chart 25 is really an overview of Rational Asset Analyzer, what it is and what it does. It's really all about being able to understand and extract value from existing IT assets. So you've got a lot of code out there. You've got a lot of business processing in that code. There are a lot of requirements against that code. You've had people that developed the code are very likely no longer there. In fact, some analyst reports view the upcoming retirement, I'll say boom, in IT to be one of the biggest issues that executives are worried about and dealing with. And I've had many conversations with various levels along that line as well. So being able to understand leads to action. And in fact, there is no action without being able to understand what you have first. The second area is being able to understand and add context around that processing. So it's one thing to see a set of code. It's another thing to understand what that set of code actually is, what it does, what it interacts with or interoperates with, and what the value of that processing is. And that's really what Asset Analyzer is all about, to be able to add context both from a technical and from a business perspective into your application portfolio. There are two separate asset analyzers delivered by IBM. And one is called WebSphere Asset Analyzer. This is a set of analytical capabilities for code that lives primarily on the System Z platform. The code is scanned on System Z where it lives. It can be pulled out of various System Z source code management systems. It goes into the repository. It's then accessible by developers and analysts and other people who would have interest to this code. Of course, relationships are identified along with various structural diagrams and charts and so on, metrics, what's the quality of the code as well. And all of this information delivered through a very easy-to-use browser-based interface. And on chart 27, you actually see a visualization of how the actual capability is. And you can see the type of code over on the left that can be scanned on the mainframe as an example. There is also a distributed component to the WebSphere Asset Analyzer technology. So from distributed application processing such as Java or WebSphere applications, HTML, JSPs, various Java-type programs and deployment files, including as well C and C++, are delivered, and out of a single common view delivered through a browser and delivered through metadata gathered in over 200 tables in a what could grow to be quite a large DB2 repository, information is delivered by the various users that would need that information. Chart 28 is the Rational branded version of Asset Analyzer. Rational Asset Analyzer, we call it the sister product, I guess, of WSAA. Basically, the same function. But it is delivered and runs on a distributed platform, and many organizations are only interested in running the capability in a distributed environment. Many organizations are looking at a distributed environment as really providing the centerpiece for their development infrastructure anyway. Also, there may be smaller teams, as an example, and certainly it may be easier to manage a distributed environment, although that's not certainly always the case by any means. It still supports both scanning of SystemZ and distributed code. The scans primarily are on the workstation, although we can bring code and gather metadata from various mainframe artifacts as well. That gets into perhaps more detail than we would, if I was to drill in further, that we would have time to do today. But there are some additional features. There's a dashboarding capability delivered with RAA. We can also, of course, control the depth of the scanning, which may be a requirement in a, I'll call it a smaller version of the product. We also deliver the WebSphere application server and the database as well, along with the product packaging. And then there is a set of APIs we include with the product also, with both asset analyzers as an example. And here you can actually see a visual that's very similar to the visual of WebSphere Asset Analyzer, which shows what is delivered with the Rational Asset Analyzer capability. The rest of the presentation, I'm just going to use the common term Rational Asset Analyzer. So what do you actually get on chart 30? Well, you know, again, it's all about reducing cost and risk of changes, being able to change applications faster through greater knowledge. Very strong support for various runtimes like CICS or IMS or WebSphere as an example. The ability to query and display application diagrams, structural diagrams, program level diagrams, data flow diagrams as an example. We also may be looking at specific transactions which execute multiple programs or groups of programs as well as part of the part of the technology. One of the key benefits of Asset Analyzer, key strengths, I will say, of the product, is it's the ability to store large amounts of metadata and understand relationships across large numbers of artifacts. So if you want to know how artifact A, perhaps a particular database is related to a particular program, is related to a particular screen as an example, Asset Analyzer would be a very good product to actually find those direct and indirect impacts across various environments and runtimes. Chart 31 shows some of the slick graphing associated with the products. Of course, very difficult to do for developers that maybe are still using a green screen development environment. But even out of an IDE, you don't typically get enterprise-wide views of application processing. And, you know, we can give batch structure diagrams and interactive CICS diagrams or IMS diagrams. In the case on the right, we've got a diagram of a web application. We see the ear and the associated WARs, and where you see the pluses and the minuses, those can be expanded down into the Java classes and methods as an example, too. Chart 32 also stresses, again, one of the key strengths of the Asset Analyzer product, which is the end-to-end impact analysis, the ability to search for processing. And when I say processing, typically would be searching for data files or perhaps impact of data variables changing across the application. When I say a variable changes, what I'm really talking about is the business processing that is actually used by those variables or data items or data files. And so Asset Analyzer has very strong capability to determine direct impacts and indirect impacts, and those can be expanded on or contracted from and taken away as well in order to provide a very detailed view of, as an application changes, what are the potential impacts? And we have many very large organizations, including auto companies, as an example, that have significant processing that as applications change and business requirements come in and they're addressed, change reports are run in Asset Analyzer, and then in turn, various key constituencies get those change reports and have to sign off on the fact that they will be impacted or won't be impacted by another group actually making a change. And you can see Bill of Materials was mentioned as part of the capability of Asset Analyzer. As we move forward to Chart 33, we see there are open interfaces associated with the product. We do publish the data model and database scheme. There's a very strong custom query capability. We give the ability to for users to actually define their own metrics and counts, and we include things like McCabe and Halstead complexity and so on to give some of the standard metrics that are available in the marketplace as well, all as part of the extensibility framework. And this framework also lets Asset Analyzer be much more easily plugged into other products, including other parts of the Rational portfolio like System Architect that I just talked about. A good example of that integration might be as I'm integrating the System Architect product, I may want to pre-populate it with my applications and programs and data stores and so on that are already exist. Well, Asset Analyzer could actually scan and classify those artifacts, and in turn, those artifacts could be fed into System Architect as well. So we provide not only the logical view, which System Architect would provide, but the physical view of what actually is happening with the Asset Analyzer capability. Chart 34 here. Just as a short discussion on scalability, the web server is based on WebSphere Application Server. We leverage DB2 as a repository, including DB2 on SystemZ for organizations that need that level of scale. We do consider Asset Analyzer to be a very high scalable solution, and we have proof of that through many engagements with customers out there. Chart 35 is talks about some of the additional integration with Asset Analyzer to other products. We talked about RAM. It may be very useful to define the logical service and a logical lifetime, manage the logical lifetime of that service. The service may run a program, of course, would run a program, right? We may need to understand what that program is and what it does that the service invokes. When programs change, we may want to know what other services are impacted by that change. So, again, another very good reason to tie the logical to the physical, and Asset Analyzer can help make that tie. As well, we have organizations now that are actually migrating code, perhaps from complete control in IT to more of a control inside of a business analyst community. Very often they'll move into a business rule engine managed environment. iLog, which is an IBM branded set of capability, would provide some of that support. And very often when customers are looking at iLog, they would look to Asset Analyzer to actually provide a view on where the existing business processing is, so we're sure to migrate the proper business processing into the rules engine. And in fact, the next chart here actually shows a visual on what some of that mining would be. In the upper right-hand corner here, you can see some COBOL code as it might exist in a program. In turn, you can actually see how it might exist inside of JRules, or the iLog technology for business rules. And in this case, these are business rules that would ultimately be deployed as a Java set of processing. How does that happen? Well, we may have a subject matter expert that actually goes through and loads and makes sure that we understand or have a good handle on the application componentry of interest. There's a business rule mining expert who would be work hand-in-hand with the application subject matter experts to actually understand the code and understand what would turn into a business rule. And in turn, we would identify that business processing likely based on some level of information we can give that would describe what the business processing could entail. For instance, if we're looking for tax calculations, we may look for asterisk TAX asterisk type usage around my application code, which could be 200 million lines of code or more. We're going to find the processing. We're going to tag it. Eventually, we're going to migrate that processing into the JRules engine, as an example, and then it would run from that environment. It may continue to run in both environments for, at some point in time as well. So very good reason, and what companies typically call this processing are the ability to identify business rules. Business rules are just a procedural view of or implementation of what a business policy is. And business policies are made up of rule sets in turn are made up of rules, and in turn Asset Analyzer can help you identify business rules by giving you a very detailed view of the existing processing and ultimately the ability to tag that existing processing and migrate it into a rule. Chart 37 is the last technology chart I'm going to talk to. The Asset Analyzer capability will soon also be accessible directly from IBM's Eclipse-based IDEs, including Rational Developer for System Z. This is a capability that we're pretty excited about, providing more and more application understanding, which is a core part of portfolio management across the application lifecycle, and certainly more integration to come in the future as well. The next chart here, chart 38, brings us back to what we call the racetrack. Being from Raleigh, I think you know the interest in auto racing. This is really a visual view of the application lifecycle and where the various capabilities exist in the lifecycle. And, of course, application portfolio management can be used across many of these capabilities, which we've talked about in this presentation, and I'm not going to review again. I would leave you with, on chart 39, the fact that we are very tied into a strategy where we leverage the IBM Open Jazz platform to provide a common framework both for UI and for application information that can be linked to across the various components and across the various constituencies that make up the application lifecycle processing. So when we think about portfolio management here at IBM, we very much are interested in how portfolio management can be leveraged across the lifecycle. In many cases, our deliveries are going to be focused on how that portfolio management is delivered in the Jazz technology. And with that, I will close out the presentation and hand it back. And thank you very much, and I will stay on for questions.
Thank you, Mike. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Please vote now. One moment, please. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Please vote now. One moment, please. Question 3. Does your company currently have developers supporting multiple environments such as mainframe, IBM i, System i, or other platforms such as System X? If yes, and they each have their own development platform and processes, press star 1. If yes, and have already adopted a common developer platform tool, press star 2. If only have one platform in the company, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, does your company currently have developers supporting multiple environments such as mainframe, IBM i, System i, or other platforms such as System X? If yes, they each have their own development platform and processes, press star 1. If yes, and have already adopted a common developer platform tool, press star 2. If only have one platform in the company, press star 3. Please vote now. One moment, please. Question 4. If your company has applications running on multiple platforms, do you have a common set of lifecycle development processes across the platforms? If do not have applications running on multiple platforms, press star 1. If have applications running on multiple platforms and have a set of common processes across all the platforms, press star 2. If have applications running on multiple platforms but they each have their own set of lifecycle management processes, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, if your company has applications running on multiple platforms, do you have a common set of lifecycle development processes across the platforms? If do not have applications running on multiple platforms, press star 1. If have applications running on multiple platforms and have a set of common processes across all platforms, press star 2. If have applications running on multiple platforms, but they each have their own set of lifecycle management processes, press star 3. Please vote now. Question 5. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. You may vote now. Again, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Please vote now. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone at any time. And I would like to turn the call back over to Mr. Connor while we wait for questions.
Thank you.
And at this time, I'm showing that we have no questions, so I'd like to turn it back to you, sir, for closing comments.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say thank you very much for joining. And as well, if you do have any follow-on questions, my email address is in the front of the presentation. Please feel free to contact me, and I will respond as soon as possible. Thank you very much.